Hello, we'd like you to know out there that in a few weeks we're going to have the Global Entrepreneurship Week. And it's going to be November 17th to 23. In order to describe what that is, we have several people here. First, I would like to introduce Jenny Clark. Please tell us about your organization, Jenny.
I am the Associate Director for CREE, which is the Center for Research, Entrepreneurship, and Innovative Enterprises, and it's focused on commercializing the research that is being developed at UTEP.
Okay, and then we have three students.
My name is Celia Garcia Chavez. I'm currently an undergraduate research assistant at CREE. We're preparing for the competition. It's going to be El Paso Venture.
Why don't you tell us what El Paso Venture Competition is before we go on?
We're actually working on it in developing ideas and new products for innovation and then presenting these new ideas to potential investors.
For a student startup, yes?
It's a startup. A startup company. So we present this product to these investors. In the process, we create the business plan, the development product.
Everybody out there is wondering, what's your product going to be?
Right now, I'm currently working on prostate cancer research. It's a new
prostate
medicine.
Prostate cancer research.
Yeah. So it's a new medicine.
Okay, oh, very interesting. We're going to get back to that. Next, please.
My name is Mariana Schenk, and I'm also an undergraduate student. I'm also a research assistant at CREE. I've been working on a grant. I've also did an evaluation of the Paso del Norte Venture Competition. I'm also a member of the Regional Economic Development Association and working on Global Entrepreneurship Week.
Okay, and?
I'm Eli Montero, and I'm an undergraduate biomedical science student. Pretty much do market research, and a lot of the technology that's at UTEP, it has a lot of biomedical applications, and I go in there and see the relations between the science and the technology and the business plans that can go forth and what we can present in the competition later in March.
Okay, Jenny, let me ask you to tell us what the Global Entrepreneurship Week is. What are we looking at?
Well, this is a global celebration. I think it's being celebrated in all the countries around the world. It probably first started with the Kauffman Foundation pushing forward the initiative, but it's being celebrated on university campuses worldwide. And so at UTEP, we have set up this year a much more expanded schedule just to let everybody know about the innovation training ecosystem on campus.
All right. And for people, our fans out there, I have the network, the www.gew.co.
Yes.
And I think it's very interesting to look at that because it is a very large operation. But please tell us more about what you would expect that the students are going to do when the week comes.
So what we have set up are five different days of events. And we've got on Monday, Chalk the Block, Facebook Challenge on Tuesday, Innovation Cookies. We have a Shark Tank-like Ideas Unleashed competition on Thursday. And then we have an Entrepreneurship Connector event for all the various student organizations from science and business and engineering and any other students that are interested in entrepreneurship. We want to have a mixer where they can come together and learn to speak the other's language, because that's one of the biggest challenges we find in pulling together teams for venture competitions and for launching businesses. We pull together business students, engineering, science students, and anyone else interested in entrepreneurship, and they have to really work hard to learn how to speak each other's language.
So a good team might be a scientist, an engineer, and a business student.
Yes, super.
Okay. When you mention some things here, I think that all of you, whoever wants to chime in, what do you mean, chalk the block? chalk the block.
So pretty much Chalk the Block is just trying to spur and inspire creativity. You know, being an entrepreneur, you need to have creativity, innovation. So, you know, just having drawings all over the sidewalks, you know, having chalk everywhere and just, you know, people being able to unleash that creativity and think about entrepreneurship. So it's an impacting way in order to get people to think about entrepreneurship.
Yeah, show their innovation, creativity.
And that was Mariana speaking. Please, when you speak, tell us who you are so the audience knows that too. So you're actually talking about chalking. What actually would you chalk?
you could chalk an idea, maybe an inspirational quote that maybe somebody's like, oh, that's cool, like gives me inspiration for an idea that I have, or, you know, just like a really awesome drawing, limitless creativity.
So on that particular day, any student that wants to chalk the block can just come in and do it wherever they want, or where do they get instructions?
So it's going to be just on certain areas in campus. So, for example, it'll hopefully be like next to the College of Business, the library, the union, and the College of Engineering.
This is Jenny. We will have everything posted at cree.utep.edu, and CREE is spelled C-R-E-I-E. Or you can click Entrepreneurship on UTEP's homepage, and that'll lead you to the logo for Global Entrepreneurship Week, where we'll list all the events going on and more information about where they're taking place.
Okay. Who's going to talk about the Facebook challenge?
Tuesday, we have the Facebook challenge. What we're going to do is collect surveys using iPads and try to get its students to, you know, give us information about what they think about entrepreneurship, whether they think that the university could use more, maybe more classes or maybe more organizations and tools that enable the students to create that idea and to make it to a possible business. So it's more of a social media event. The students can enter to win a 25 gift card to the UTEP bookstore. So it's a little motivation to kind of participate in collecting, you know, more information that's going to help in the long run to increase and expand.
And this is going to be done directly on Facebook?
Yes.
Are you leaving Twitter out of this?
For today.
For today, okay. We're going to leave. That sounds quite innovative, but what I want to know about is innovation cookies.
So innovation cookies is going to be really fun. So we're just going to place them inside the different colleges within the university. This is Mariano, by the way. People are more than welcome to just take a cookie, you know, use it as inspiration for entrepreneurship. It's just all these little things that we're doing that they might not be like an actual activity, but they're impacting in a small way.
Well, let me understand that. So if I go in and get a cookie, by the way, can the faculty do these things too?
Yes, of course.
This is Jenny. The entrepreneurship activities have been kind of flying low under the radar, and so this week is all about celebrating entrepreneurship and innovation and raising the profile, letting people know that if they are interested in entrepreneurship, they can look to CREE. We offer monthly workshops. We have a new student incubator called The Mine. The website's mine.utep.edu, where you can apply for more support in building a business. And so there's all these free activities that so many people aren't aware of. And so this week is all about celebrating innovation, entrepreneurship, and letting people know about all these resources that are available. And it's not too late to start thinking about participating in the Paso del Norte Venture Competition in March. The applications aren't due until January, but since you're trying to pull together a diverse group, a team of students, and there's a lot of work to be done, and so we're here to help you get those resources together so that you're ready to work on it, you know, over the Christmas break and get a lot of work done in order to meet the deadlines. So if you're interested, you can contact me.
All right. Well, it's still not finished with the week there. On November 20th, we have Ideas Unleashed competition.
My name's Cecilia. Well, that's kind of what we're saying about the Shark Tank competition. It's five teams that are going to compete, and there's going to be four judges.
And I think we can leave it even open to more teams.
Yeah.
You know, because we're going to keep it at 90 seconds, so that'll allow a lot more teams.
Yeah, it's a 90-second elevator pitch. So they're going to create this idea and then present it. They have an opportunity to win an Amazon Kindle as well. They can get, I think the most thing you can get out of it, it's the feedback you can get from the investors.
All right. Now, you talked about an elevator speech. Why don't you tell the audience what that means?
Well, that's kind of how you sell your product to the investors. So if you're selling a cookie, you can tell them why do they want that cookie to be out there in the market.
Well, it's as I remember it, is you get in on the ground floor and it happens to be that the head of, you know, the American Stock Exchange or something is there and you got 20 floors to convince him to give you money for your startups. That's why it's called elevator speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you make a good elevator speech?
You know, tell them about your successes.
Actually, I just went to the CEO conference, national conference for my student organization. We were there preparing for the whole weekend to compete with along another student, so it was like really challenging.
So on the last day, you have this entrepreneurship connector. You want to talk about that a little bit?
This is Mariana, and the entrepreneurship connector is that, you know, it's an opportunity for students as well as professionals to interact with each other. So it's like a networking mixer. So you can be able to get certain ideas. It's kind of like a flow. Also, what we're trying to promote the whole week is like a flow of creativity. Also get, you know, very good advice if you're looking for that. So it's just, you know, networking mixer. There's going to be free pizza. So, you know, food's always good motivator, right?
Well, are you going to have entrepreneurs there or venture capitalists that are coming?
We're planning on having entrepreneurs there and as well as students.
Well, one thing that makes me quite curious is how did the three of you get involved in this? Where did you decide that you wanted to try to be entrepreneurs instead of chemistry professors?
It's getting your innovative side. It's sharing your ideas to the world. And maybe some people think as the way you do. And you can share that to the people through business.
Yeah, but you didn't tell us why you got interested. Why does this turn you on?
Passion.
Okay. All right. Mariana?
Well, it started for me from my organization that I'm in the College of Business. And we do a three-day startup. And that's how I got introduced into the whole startup world. Because for that time period, the three-day startup program, for 3 days, you create a business, and then from after the 3 days, you can go on and continue your business. So that ended up, you know, it really fascinated me, and I wanted to pursue that. So I don't think I'm more of like an entrepreneurship myself, but I really like to encourage entrepreneurs to go through their path. So that's how I got interested.
Eli?
I really like innovation, and I like producing new materials and producing new ideas, especially in science, since I'm a biology major. I think it's really creative when you're in a lab and you produce something that you never thought could have a purpose in, you know, the functional world. And then you can make that product, whether it, you know, it could be a new vaccine or a new synthetic material for biotechnologies, and then convert that from the lab to actually developing and selling it and making profit out of it. So I think in two words, it would be science and money.
Yeah, science and money, but you also, one of the things you said, it was sort of an accident. Accidentally ran into something in the lab that you didn't expect to be useful.
I think a lot of discoveries in science have been because, you know, individuals who are curious about how things react with other substances, and then, you know, out of the blue, you come up with something and it actually serves a purpose. It could be, I mean, something traces back maybe to like penicillin with a bacteria where, yeah, the scientist wasn't looking for an antibiotic, but he actually, he was eating a sandwich and he grew mold on it and he was experimenting with the fungus penicillin.
Yeah, so he recognized the unusual thing that he accidentally ran into.
Yeah.
And that's how we got penicillin. And, you know, I was curious there. You told me that you're working on a drug for prostate cancer.
Yes, I am. We're trying to develop a drug that's for post-chemo treatment.
Post-chemo treatment, yeah.
So it's not out there right now because there's resistance for the disease right now. So this drug treats the resistant phase.
I mean, I'm interested in this because we have Mayan pigments that we discovered are good for cancer. And I'm just curious as how you ran into this drug that happens to be something that helps post-chemotherapy, is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, actually, we're working right now with Dr. Cox. He's in the science field in here at UTEP. Well, I'm doing the business for them.
Dr. Cox?
Yeah.
Michael Cox, yes.
He's the one developing the drug. I'm just helping out with the business and how to put it out in the market and doing all the market research.
Well, I mean, to me, that's a fascinating topic because, for example, we worked on the local creosote bushes, Gumbendora in Spanish, have for hundreds of years, maybe 1,000 years, used by the local residents to prevent kidney stones. And we did science to show that that was correct, you know, that you can grow crystals and then you put the tea on it and it's a powder. And yet, when you have a discovery like that or you reinforce something that people knew for a long time, it's not so easy to get it to the public. How do you do that?
once you have a working medicine that's out there, I think it works on its own. Everything goes easily to the market.
Okay, Jenny, let me get back to you then. Can you talk a little bit more about the competition? Didn't we have a recent winner?
A few recent winners.
The big time.
Last 2 years, UTEP has won the annual regional Paso de Norte venture competition. American Water, it won the first year and went on to the Horizon Fund, where they won. That was against all the other UT system
in Texas,
schools.
Yeah,
UT system schools. They won there, and then they went on to the Global Venture Lab competition, also organized at UT Austin. But it's a global competition, and they placed in the semifinals for that one too.
So that was American Water Recyclers, AWR.
Yes. And they are currently working to launch a pilot program, a $500,000 plant in New Mexico.
All right. So you're going to have this competition again.
Mm-hmm. UTEP won again this past year, and that was with Atlas Regeneration Technologies, a water softener product. And so that has also been a business that's launched out of UTEP. They've licensed UTEP technology, and the team is moving forward to produce products and start getting customers.
All right. So if you're a student here, how do you get involved in this competition?
Well, you need an idea, you need a team, and then we have all the resources to help you from there.
Okay. But
sometimes if you don't have all the members of your team, we can help you find other members, you know. So come to us anyways, and we'll help you out.
And what happens if I'm at home and I have a good idea? Is there any way I can get some help from Cree?
If it's a technology-based company, Cree is available to help mentor you through that process. If it's a different kind of startup company, we can point you in the right direction, but that's where our expertise lays, is in technology startup businesses.
All right, let's get back now that we've done that to the Global Entrepreneurship Week, okay? Mm-hmm. And as I'm looking at it, it's something that's all over the world. Mm-hmm. And what's driving this? Anybody want to tell us what's driving this movement?
There's definitely a trend towards entrepreneurship. There's always been entrepreneurship, but even now I think, especially, I've been reading articles about like the millennial generation that Jenny mm-hmm. has been, you know, nice to send me. She's like, oh, look at this article. And
what's the millennial generation?
So that'll be us. So pretty much just anyone going through college right now. So instead of taking, you know, these big corporate jobs, we're deciding to go like, hey, you know, we have ideas, you know, they're creative, they're innovative. We want to change our environment, so let's go for entrepreneurship. Let's do something different.
Are you saying that this is a classical against Wall Street companies here, a new movement?
No, but it's definitely a different path. What I really like about Cree is that it's another opportunity. It's something different. So most of the time, like I go through, I'm an economics student, and you just hear like, oh, you can go work for these companies. But it's also really good to know that there's other opportunities out there for you, so you can do an entrepreneurship path.
I think I read someplace, and maybe I'm sure you all know more about it than I do, that the major job creation in the United States has been through startup companies. Where other companies may be cutting back, startups are creating new jobs for the country. So can you talk a little bit more about that? Do you think about the economy in general, that you were talking about the millennium generation as having a new take on helping the economy and so on?
With entrepreneurship, you're able to target kind of what your local economies may be missing. For example, here we're primarily a service economy, so maybe just a lot of like business, like telephone lines or something like that. Having different options, definitely. So if you have someone creating a startup, they're creating something different. They're creating more job opportunities, because a lot of problems that we have, I guess, here at UTEP that I've noticed is that we have to move elsewhere in order to find a career for us.
El Paso, and particularly UTEP, are getting very good ratings from the rest of the universities right now for accomplishments that we've made in training minorities and so on. We've gone a long way.
Yes, definitely. Fantastic. And, you know, just with all these new things coming up, like especially with the incubator, it's awesome. It's, you know, creating different routes, different options for the students on campus. So that way, hopefully with all these, you know, Global Entrepreneurship Week, the incubator, we're going to be helping spurring like our economy and, you know, having many different options. And from there, just getting better and better.
One thing that I always think about is we have problems. Like you said, we have local problems. And sometimes the startups don't think too much about them. Like, we don't have enough water. Maybe we can do better solar than we've been doing. And there's this sort of big picture things. Do you guys think about those at all?
Any problem can be looked at as an opportunity, too, that, you know, exactly. You want to leverage those problems and say, well, what can I find as a solution, and then bring that to the table.
I just wonder how in the group, the Global Entrepreneurship Week and so on, how if there's people that are actually saying, look, these are big problems, you know, and so that people think about big problems instead of just being in the corner by themselves saying, hey, maybe I can make a new headset for Twitter or something like that.
I think it's an excellent idea to know that you're not alone, and that's what celebrating Global Entrepreneurship Week is all about, that you start to realize just how many people are interested in that career path and that are looking to collaborate and network together and find those opportunities.
Or how about better structural materials for spaceships that take people up?
That's where our Keck Center can help with their 3D printing process.
There you go. Okay. Well, we're coming down to the end now, and I think that I'm very interested in the Global Entrepreneurship Week. So did any of you have some suggestions? Please tell us.
Definitely feel free to come with Chalk, you know, Chalk the Block. And just feel free to definitely participate in any of the activities that we're having on campus that week. But just something else that I wanted to add is that, you know, just be innovative, go out for there for your goals. And Global Entrepreneurship is definitely a week where we highlight it, but it doesn't only have to last for that week. You know, we want it to go year round. We want people to be like, hey, like, I have a really good idea. I want to go for it. So let's do this.
Celia, any final comments?
Just wanted to restate the website. It's Cree. It's CREIE.utip.edu. We'll have our advertisement in there. For more information, if you want to go into the Global Entrepreneurship Week, I strongly recommend it if you're a business major or engineering.
Eli?
I think it's important to participate, to just know that there's more individuals out there like you that are trying to, you know, set up an idea and make it into a business. And, you know, to know that you have support here at UTEP and the community, you have the resources to help anyone who's willing to commit themselves to entrepreneurship.
I want to thank you all for being here on the show, and it's very interesting. Thank you particularly, Jenny Clark, for bringing in these people. I'm going to go find my chalk.
Russ Cannelli is our special guest host this afternoon in El Paso Primetime, a professor of chemistry here at UTEP. Special thanks to Belinda Fernandez, our assistant producer, who edited this segment. And now, coming up on El Paso Primetime is a piece from Primetime Postscript, an ongoing series from the AARP in Washington, D.C.
This is Primetime Postscript. I'm Mike Cuthbert. When something breaks or needs repair, not all of us choose to buy a new one or pay for repairs. In Oregon, the North Portland Tool Library sponsors repair cafes, where community members can get help with repairs, even borrow the tools they need to make them, all without charge. Tool libraries receive support in a growing number of communities across the U.S. Independent producer Scott Schlegel has this story about a group of volunteers that enjoys helping people fix things.
Inside a repurposed neighborhood firehouse, people are lining up with broken appliances, lamps, bicycles, even jewelry. It's the North Portland Tool Library's monthly repair cafe, where volunteer repair consultants offer troubleshooting skills to help their neighbors. Barb and her husband Chris brought two canister-style vacuum cleaners.
And these rainbows new are like $2,000 or up. So it's like it's really important that we repair them, that we fix it. And yeah, we could get a new vacuum cleaner for less than $600, but it doesn't clean the same way that we like.
When it's their turn, Barb and Chris lift their machine onto the table for inspection.
This thing's pretty cool.
We've been told that the motor is bad because when you turn it on, it makes a sound to it. We got this on FreeCycle for free if you need to cannibalize any parts.
Okay, so you're thinking take the motor out of this if it's still good and put it in yours.
Yeah.
Or whatever
if,
parts
if in
might
fact
be.
It needs a motor because, you know.
This time the machine turns on without making the strange noise that worried them.
Either the guy miraculously just looked at it and it started running, or the guy at the repair store, a vacuum cleaner salesman bet us a line and said it was broken and it wasn't.
Well, we did buy a vacuum from him that night, but now we have one that's working again.
Yes.
The North Portland Tool Library also runs workshops for building things, such as rain barrels and benches. Power tools to the people is the motto here, as volunteers build community and foster sustainability by providing people with tools and the knowledge to use them. Tool Library Manager Lori Sugarbear.
We actually get a great deal of support from the local businesses. We're still trying to reach out to the hardware stores to help them understand that we aren't trying to put them out of business. We actually provide tools that maybe someone can't afford today, but maybe 5 years from now, they think, wow, I really used a really great tool. And they're willing then to spend the extra money to get a good tool at the end.
Lori recalls that in 10 years, just one lone tool has been stolen. There's no fee for sign-out, but patrons must live within community boundaries, and donations are requested of money, tools, or time. Mason volunteers by maintaining library tools.
We've got everything from pipe wrenches to fish tapes for plumbing to caulk guns and sawhorses and sanders and routers and jigsaws and air compressors and nail guns, brad nailers, just floor to ceiling.
Volunteers repair tools that come back broken. The library does not stock certain tools, gasoline-powered, for example. Lori says tool library resources reflect the community culture.
There's only about 70 tool libraries nationwide, and each one is different. Each one has it has tools that their members need and require, or where they live, climate, even culture denotes what we have in store. We only carry push mowers here because that works in Portland. Because we have small yards and because we are such an eco-community, it works here. Push mowers in California would never work because they have big yards. They got quarter acres. They're not going to push that. But here in Portland, that works for us.
Some North Portland women find the tool library especially useful. Borrowed tools helped Lee rebuild her garage and turn it into a workshop. Now she volunteers by providing customer service.
It seems to me that most of the women who work here tend to be homeowners in their own right. Like myself, I purchased a home by myself, and I'm not relying on someone else to do that work for me. And so now I have a great space to work in, and through that project, I became more familiar with the tool library, and that's why I volunteer here.
To find out if there's a tool library in your community, go to wikipedia.org and enter the search term Tool Lending Libraries.
This has been Primetime Postscript, made possible by AARP, and today, Scott Schlegel. To hear more stories and postscripts, please visit aarp.org/radio.
El Paso Primetime is produced at the studios of KTEP on the campus at the University of Texas at El Paso. The engineer and line producer for the segment on Cree is Deidre Westenhauser. Belinda Fernandez is the associate producer who edited the show. Special thanks to the AARP in Washington, D.C. for the use of today's Primetime Postscript. Stay tuned now for Perspectives with Louis Zines. Thank you for listening to El Paso Primetime.